started to hurt. But you know what a difference a great dad makes. Look over in Ephesians chapter 6. So we're going to talk specifically today to the dads. And to those who would be dads. And those who have potential to be dads. And those who have ever had a dad. And those who would have liked to have had a dad. In fact, this is a message for everyone, but particularly for the brothers. In Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible tells us, in verse 4, it says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children." What does exasperate mean anyway? Frustrate? What's that? Be overbearing? It's kind of like a combination between frustrate, desperation, and exhaustion, isn't it? Do not exasperate your children. But you know, I always think, if fathers are not meant to exasperate your children, what about children don't exasperate your fathers? But then I guess that comes in the previous verses. If you skip back to verse 1, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth." You know, if children were honoring their father and mother, then they wouldn't be exasperating their father or mother. Because when you honor someone, then you hold them in high regard, with great respect, that you do your best to protect their interests, that you treat them with the way you believe they deserve to be treated. And if you hold them in great honor, then there'd be obedience that will follow naturally. But we're talking about fathers, and he says, "Fathers, don't exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." You know, that's what we are called to do as dads, is we are called to bring up our children in the training and instruction of the Lord. You know, on April the 3rd this year, we celebrated Mother's Day. And today, we it's the one day in the year where we take to honor and respect and pay tributes to fathers. You know, someone once said the definition of a father is a man who carries pictures in his wallet where his money used to be. And a young child was once asked, you know, "So what's the difference between Mother's Day and Father's Day?" He said, "Well, Father's Day is just like Mother's Day, but you just don't spend as much." My oldest daughter, she's in Singapore right now, but I was so touched. I got a card in the post from her. And this is the card. You may not be able to see it from where you are, but I've got it on there. She sent this card. It's got lots of pictures of our family over the years. And it simply says, "Thank you for being you." And on the inside, it says "Happy Father's Day" and lots of other stuff. And then on the back, it's got a picture on the back, which is "Father's Day 2011 with love from Singapore," which is where she is right now doing her work placement. That was very moving. And I was very touched by that. I also got a card this morning from my son, Caleb, which he made himself. And this is, you can't see it, but this is a shirt. This is meant to be my neck. It's quite a fat neck, but that's my neck. And there's a tie there. And on the inside, "To a fantastic daddy, even when I make your brain go crazy, you're still a great dad. When I get a question wrong, you don't get mad. You're still a great dad. I love you. Happy Father's Day." I thought that was wonderful. And then my daughter, Hannah, she brought me breakfast in bed this morning. What more could a man ask? You know, the Bible says that children are to honor their father and mother. He says this is the first commandment with a promise. We're here in Ephesians 6, but let's flip back to Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6, and we'll see, talking about fathers bringing up our children in instruction and training of the Lord, well, Deuteronomy 6 comes right after the giving of the Ten Commandments in chapter 5. And I just want to remind you of these, which I know you already know. But in Deuteronomy, let's pick up in chapter 5, verse 6. "Out of the fire on the mountaintop, the word of the Lord came." In verse 6, he says, "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make to yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. I always think, that's not fair. If my father sins, I get punished. But you know, it's really, it's the consequence of our behavior, you know, and this is why, as dads, it's so important that we get this right. Because how we go, so goes our family. How we behave, we have an incredible influence on those around us, and not just on our immediate family, but he talks about even to the third and fourth generation. That we shape the future leaders of the world. We shape the next generation, and the one after that, and the one after that. It's really important that we get it right. In verse 11, he says, "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. For the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son, nor daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor the alien within your gates, so that your manservant and maidservant may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long, and it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you." You know, the command to honor your father and mother is preceded by 4 commandments about really putting God first and honoring God. And if we are going to teach, as fathers, if we are going to teach our children and train our children, then we've got to make sure that we've got our priorities right. Because then it's after the giving of the 10 commandments, then in chapter 6, that he goes on in verse 1. He says, "These are the commands, decrees, and laws that the Lord your God directed me to teach you, to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you and your children and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." You know, God really wanted the people to remember this. That they were supposed to impress these commandments, these decrees, these laws on their children. And he said, you know, you've got to tie it on your forehead, hang it on the door frame. When you lie down, when you get up, when you walk along the road, you've got to be training your children. As fathers, we have a responsibility to teach our children to love the Lord our God of all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Fathers are called to be teachers. There's an old English proverb that says one father is worth more than 100 schoolmasters. We're all teachers, whether we like it or not, whether we think we are or not. Because we teach not just by what we say, we teach by what we do, and we teach by what we don't do. And our children, they are incredible learners. And they will pick up, and they will see what we're doing and what we're not doing. You know, they'll see what is a priority in our life. And we can say you've got to love the Lord your God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength, that God needs to be number one, but is it reflected by the way we live? Because if it's not reflected by the way we live, then that's exactly what our children will learn. And you know, it's interesting, because you know when someone is committed to something, it's reflected. It's reflected by how much time they spend on that object. How much time they spend talking about that thing, or thinking about it, or it just comes out in their everyday life. Children know if God is a priority in our life. Because they see us reading our Bibles. They hear us saying our prayers. They hear us talking about God to the people all around us. They see the way we treat others. Children see the way that their fathers treat their mothers. They pick up on everything. They see what is of great importance in our lives. You know, if it's match of the day on a Saturday night, and you they see you watching it, never missing that. They see you, if you can't be there, you'll record it. That's what I do anyway. But it's clear, they also see if you're committed to God's family, to the church. They notice when you don't come to church on a Friday night, or a midweek meeting, or a family group meeting, or any other meeting of the body. They pick up on that. They notice when you come to church late because it's not so important as, say, getting to work on time, for example. And children will pick up on every little thing, and it's not enough to say, I'm a Christian. We have to live it out. Because if we're not living out, that's what we're training and teaching the next generation. We have got to make sure we get our priorities right. Let me show this another video clip relating to this whole idea of Father's Day. This is actually a dramatization of a Facebook. You know, they can do notes on Facebook, and this is someone that they put a note on Facebook, and someone decided to dramatize it.
This week, while reading a book at the local coffee shop, I called my husband to check in, to remind him to load the dishwasher, give our daughter her vitamins, and to make sure she had a bath. You know, the important things. We talked for a moment and then said goodbye, and I settled back into my book. But after a minute, I heard a voice from my phone. I picked it up and realized that neither of us had actually hung up. What I heard was awesome. She was busy pretending, giggling, and laughing with our 5-year-old. I listened, I smiled, I laughed out loud. Forget solitude. I couldn't break myself away from the beauty of this moment. A father playing wholeheartedly, undistracted with his child. I felt a rush of thankfulness. So grateful that my daughter is an amazing father. When I got home that night, the dishes were still on the counter. The vitamins had not been given. Our daughter went to bed without a bath. But I found my husband fast asleep, snuggling his baby girl. I did the dishes, and I was thankful. To those fathers who are rising to the incredible challenge of relating with their kids, of engaging with them, of looking them in the eyes with love, your kids are blessed. Thank you, and happy Father's Day.
I really like that clip because it gives you a foolproof way to get out of doing the dishes. But let's turn our Bibles to Galatians chapter 6. We looked at Ephesians 6 and Deuteronomy 6. Let's close out with Galatians 6. You know, we've got to make sure that we get our priorities right, that we are living what we teach and preach, that we are setting an example. In Galatians 6, and pick up in verse 2, he says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. For each one should carry his own load. It's interesting because in verse 2 he says we should help carry each other's burdens. But then in verse 5 he says we should each carry our own burden. And then there's a sense where no one can live your Christianity for you. But at the same time, we're all at some point going to be in need of someone else to help support us. And so it's not an expectation of, okay, the church will take care of me. No, we still learn to take care of ourselves spiritually. But at the same time, we depend on each other. And we give to each other and we serve each other. Just as Sandra said earlier, I also grew up in a single parent family. My dad left when I was about 2 or 3. I have no recollection of him ever living with us. And I saw him, you know, up until the age of 10, I saw him maybe 4 or 5 times in my life. And it's only after I became a Christian that I decided to get back in touch with my father. Because from 10 until after I was a Christian, I didn't see him at all. And then I got in touch with him when I was about 19, 20. And since then, I've really tried to build a relationship with my dad, even to the point where I flew out to Malaysia a couple of years ago, took the whole family to spend a week with my dad. But you know, when I was 16 and I came along to the church, it was a big gap in my life. I had no older male role models. But I'm so grateful that in coming to church, I found spiritual older brothers who could fill a need and fill a gap. And you know, sometimes we feel like, well, I'm okay, I'm doing well, and that's fantastic. All the more reason for you to be committed to every single meeting so you can meet the needs of other people. I had older brothers in church who, Douglas Arthur, he spent time with me, he taught me to play frisbee and cards and all kinds of things, stuff that a dad would normally teach his son. I spent time with Jeff Hungerford and we played chess together and he taught me how to play table football and Jeff also taught me the finer points of frisbee. He competes in frisbee tournaments all over the world. He was ranked number 5 in the world in frisbee golf. It's unbelievable. But then I spent time with Noel Loban. And Noel Loban, we hung out together. He used to cut my hair for me. He's a big guy. He's a bronze medalist in the Olympic Games. And when he made a mistake cutting my hair, I didn't say a word. But he was a strong role model in my life. And it was just great to have that kind of a gap filled. You know, we have a lot of people who sadly grow up without godly spiritual fathers. But that's why we as brothers need to step up. We need to protect our family. We need to carry each other's burdens. I'm so proud of some of the teens. You know, just recently, my daughter went on a date with one of the teens in the church. In fact, there were 3 brothers. There was Lamont, and there was Charles, and his brother from, I think, the South or Southeast Yemi. And they asked out 3 of the teens in the East. They asked out Naomi and Hannah and Faith. And, you know, I was talking to Paul Rowden, because Paul Rowden, you know, Naomi's dad, I said, hey, is Naomi going out on a date with one of the teens? She said, yeah, one of them rang me up and asked permission. And I said, yeah, that happened to me too. I said, how did you feel? He said, I was a bit nervous. But, you know, they were respectful, they rang us up, they got permission to ask out our daughters. I asked Hannah and Faith afterwards, I said, so how was the date that you guys went out on? And Faith said, it was beyond encouraging. She said, the brothers, they did a great job, they planned everything out. You know, they'd got some vouchers so that the date was actually quite inexpensive. Or, in fact, actually it was Lamont who rang me up and asked. I pointed him in the right direction. But it was amazing. I think it was like for £14, 6 people can go bowling on bumper carts, on video games. I mean, and included food as well, I believe. I mean, that's pretty impressive. But you know, just the thought that went into it. They came back saying, no, we didn't have to do a thing. It was all planned out. They brought them home afterwards, and it was, and you know, Faith said afterwards, you know, like, this is the kind of thing which, before I was a Christian, I never knew existed. It was missing in my life. But as brothers, we have the potential to really encourage our sisters, and we should be doing that. And I'm really glad that the teens are leading the way, but it shouldn't just be the teens. It should be every single brother and every married man. You should take your own wife out on a date as well. But there should be this attitude of that we are really protecting and caring for one another. Why? Because we are part of the family of God. and we're carrying our burdens, and in doing something like that, we're protecting each other from the temptations in the world. And that's the way we should be as the family of God. Now he carries on in verse 6, anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. And today I'm instructing you, and so those of you brothers who receive the cookies for Father's Day, you need to share all good things with... I don't know if you share it with me. But in verse 7 it says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. You know, don't be deceived. You will reap what you sow. You can put on a facade. We can pretend to be one way when we're something different indoors or in privacy. But the truth will come out. We will reap what we sow. You can go into the garden and you can sow tomato seeds. And you can tell everyone, I planted roses. And they can believe you for only a certain period of time. Because eventually when the plants that grow up are not red roses but they're tomatoes, then everyone knows what you really planted. And the same is true of our, in our lives. We can come to church and we can look good to other people. But as our children grow up, it really reflects on how we've really lived our lives. And I want to encourage all the dads there, not just the dads, but to anyone who can take anything from the scriptures that I've shared today. Understand that our example is crucial. And if we don't do it right now, we will pay for it down the line. We have the potential for incredible good or for incredible bad. I want to encourage the dads. Obviously, I don't have a lot of time to go into great detail into everything here this morning. But there's a great book which I read recently, and it's called The Hidden Value of a Man. It's written by a guy called Gary Smalley. He's written lots of great books. And John Frent. But it's The Hidden Value of a Man. This one I haven't got its cover on. I got it second hand. I looked it up this morning. You can actually buy this book on Amazon, posted free, for £2.76, alright? And I think they've got about 10 copies on there you can get for under £3. After that, you can buy it on eBay for about £4. But let me encourage you, get a hold of a copy. Because it talks about, as men, just the incredible power that God has given us and how we ought to be using it. But I just want to close out by sharing a recollection from this woman, Sarah. It says, after her father's death, Sarah went through some of his personal things. Opening his Bible, she came across a pressed rosebud and two ticket stubs. Suddenly the memories came flooding back. During her insecure, unsettling, and terribly important teenage years, her father had really used his power for good. She says, I grew up in a poor family in the late 1940s, and my father loved us very much and worked extremely hard to keep 5 children in shoes and clothes, but still most of our clothes were hand-me-downs from the missionary barrel at church. During high school, I struck gold when a wealthy family at church needed me to babysit for them. And I saved my money, and then one night, I wrote a special invitation to my father, asking if he would go out on a special date with me the next night. And my father responded by picking up flowers on his way home from work the next day. And he brushed off his one and only nice suit that he had, which was usually reserved for weddings and funerals. And after all, he said, it's not often you get to go out with the belle of the ball. We went to a local restaurant and we had hamburgers and chocolate milkshake. Then we went to see a show and we walked home together arm in arm. I'll never forget how he hugged me when we got home and he told me how much he loved me and prayed for me and how proud he was of me. And looking at those ticket stubs and the faded rose from a special night nearly half a century previous, Sarah realized how the power of that memory had warmed her days. and encouraged her heart through all the intervening years. No matter what she accomplished or failed to accomplish, she could still close her eyes and see the pride glistening in her father's eyes. The flowers may have faded, but the memories still bloom. As a 5-year-old, she liked her father's attention. As a teenager, she longed for it. Now in her middle-aged years, she still catches the fragrance of a loving father on the edge of a drifting memory and draws comfort from it. It was just one evening, one instant, a few hours, a casual remark or two. Yet great objects can be moved by small levers, and long years can be warmed or chilled by the lever of small happenings, small comments, and small encounters. Now, I want to remind us as dads that we have incredible power to influence the people around us. Let's make sure we use that power that God has given us for good. Let's go ahead and bow our heads in a word of prayer at this time. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you so much for just the way that you are our Heavenly Father, and that you've shown us how much we mean to you by making incredible sacrifices for us, not least of which was your Son. Help us, Father, just to be grateful for that, for your example, the way that Jesus lived and demonstrated your love. And help us to reflect your love to others by the way we live and the choices we make. Help us, Father, to honor you above all things, to have you as number one in our lives. And then help us, Father, to reflect that by the way we treat others. I'm so grateful, Father, that we have this day just to be able to honor and celebrate Father's Day. I thank you for all of dads in the congregation who really do their best to be great fathers to their children. Lord, we all make mistakes. Help us, Father, to be able to move beyond those mistakes by relying on you. We're grateful for everything that you do for us and everything you've given us. Help us, Father, to serve with all our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to close out our service in a special way today. We have a young fella from the Birmingham congregation who's been studying the Bible for some time and today is ready to be baptized. I want to be able to lead the introduction to Andy Fleming, who's not here, but he sent a video clip to introduce this young man by the name of Senyo to us. So we're just going to watch this introduction from Andy Fleming.
Good afternoon, East Region. It's Andy Fleming here, in case you don't recognize me on video. But I just wanted to first of all give you greetings from the Birmingham Church, and also just from the Birmingham Church say a big thank you. 2 years ago, you sent us two of your teens who've been accepted into the University of Birmingham, and Sarah and Shakira joined us and really became the foundation of our campus ministry. And we're so grateful for just their faith and convictions and their Christian witness. In their first year at university, two more girls became disciples and were baptized. And we started this present school year with those four sisters, plus Temi Sawulu, who moved from the southeast of London, and then also two brothers who came, one from Glasgow and the other from Hong Kong. And so it's been a great year. We've I've seen a lot of great things happen, enjoyed our Bible discussions immensely. And also through the year, two more girls have been baptized. A sister, Mari, from Latvia, and then Rachel, who's also from London. And finally, the year's ending, but our great news is among you is a young man named Senyo, who has just finished his second year at the University of Birmingham, and has become just a great friend to all of us in the church here in Birmingham. We are just grateful for just everything he stands for. He's just a young man with great convictions. He loves God. He loves God's Word. And it's been a real pleasure of mine just to study the Bible with him. I also want to say to send your family and maybe any other friends that have come to witness the baptism today, just want to say thank you for coming, and I really hope that you enjoy the day and the fellowship that you're sharing in with the East Region down there in London. Senyo, I want to say to you that today is a very special day. I know that yesterday would have been your 20th birthday, and so right almost on that day, you're going to start again. The slate will be clean. You will be zero in Christ, so to speak, having being baptized today. And what a great moment it is. How exciting to start again, to be in some ways new, just like you were 20 years ago. And it's just been a great privilege to study with you. I've enjoyed our friendship, and I look forward to see what God is going to do. I really encourage you to just take in this day, drink it in, enjoy the fellowship, and always remember this day as a moment when, according to the promise given to us in Acts 2:38, you repent of your sins, you are baptized, and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and the forgiveness of your sins. This is an amazing gift from God. There's nothing we can do to deserve it. It's not based on our works, but it's based on the saving work of Christ. And it's in our obedience that the covenant is sealed. He's made us this offer, but it's in baptism we receive it. And so I just want to say, enjoy the day. Tammy and I would have loved to have been with you, but as I'm speaking right at this moment, Tammy and I are in Moscow celebrating with the Moscow Church their 20-year anniversary. So I give you greetings from the Moscow Church, but I also just want to say you're really in our hearts, and this day is a very special day. We've looked forward to it for a long time, and we know that God is going to do amazing things in your life. We know, in fact, that He already has, and we trust that your service to Him, to His people, and to a lost world will truly make a difference in your lifetime. Thank you so much, and just again, enjoy the day. Thanks to Mike D'Souza for helping to take care of the small details. And thank you, East Region. Your service to the Birmingham Church is great and very much appreciated. Love you. Bye-bye.
Can I ask Senyo to come to the front, please? And in just a moment, we'll have one final song, then Senyo's going to go off and get changed, and then we'll have the baptism neatly just to the side there. But if I just get Senyo to come up on stage, and also I want to welcome some of the Christians who have travelled down from Birmingham this morning just to be here. Can I get all of you to stand as well? So, Senyo is here today also with his mother and his sister, and some friends of the family, I believe. Can I get them all to stand as well, just so we can get a chance to say hi? Excellent. In the fellowship afterwards, please get a chance to say hi and meet them. Edla and Sedna, Edla's from Barbados, and she's got a wonderful accent. Please get a chance to talk to her in the fellowship. But you can go ahead and be seated. Before I baptize you, I have two questions to ask. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God?
I do.
And what is your good confession?
That Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior.
Because of that, I'm able to baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit for the forgiveness of your sins, and that you'll be added into God's kingdom today. We're going to go ahead and do that in a minute. If you can go ahead and get changed, we're going to ask song leaders to come up on stage, and we'll close out with one final song.
Let's all stand for our final song.